was going to say, the longer you guys stand out there, the more nervous I get, but no worries. Well, good morning. My name is Doug Wolber, and I'm a deacon at the Lampstand Church here. And I want to welcome you today for the service and to let everyone know that I'm extremely privileged to be standing in front of you this morning. We're going to talk about the affirmation of God. It is something that we all need from time to time, and it is something that brings a smile to our face when we receive it. At least it does for me. I know it builds confidence in things that I do for Jesus. The type of affirmation we're going to talk about will be the foundation of what God is, what he has done for us, so that we can navigate through the world in which we live. Here's a truth for you. The world is a dark place, and you can see it everywhere. Attacks around the world, Eastern and Western Europe, all the ISIS crises that are going on. There have been five attacks in the United States in just the last 2 months. There are cultures who dislike other cultures just because. And there are people who don't like each other because of their skin color. There is violence and anger, and that causes fear and resentment. And with today's technology and unlimited stimulus, money-driven mentality, every TV, iPhone, radio, and newspaper display this negativity across at a constant rate. And every turn that you take and every corner that you take, there's another example of the darkness that encompasses every one of us every single day. It can be a constant barrage of negativity. Folks, we have an enemy that wants to destroy us. And if we bring these same ideas a little closer, a little more personal, the enemy takes these things that we hold close and twists them so that we begin to question and doubt the validity of these very things that we hold true to our hearts. This can come from any situation at work, how you interpret something a close friend might say. It can be that simple. It can be as simple as getting bumped in the line, getting food, just making you angry. Everybody's fight is different. It has different situations, different intensities, has different people involved. The timing is different. And when we walk throughout these situations and we talk about them, people describe the situations, describe the conversations as fighting the daily fight, the daily grind. And we talk about them because they stressed us out in some way. It has brought physical, mental, or emotional strain or tension to us. It is a feeling experienced when a person perceives that the demands of the world exceed those that you can manage with your own personal self. Simply put, you have too much crap going on. There's not enough time in the day. And the reality is that these things build and build and build and build on us. They perpetuate on themselves, and they consume our time and our thoughts. There is not a greater example, a visual example of this, than a clip from the movie The Incredibles. So let's take a quick look at this short clip. And personally, I think it's an excellent representation of what and how life can happen. Let's take a look.
Thank you.
So for those of you guys that don't know much about that movie, Mr. Incredible is a superhero. He's super strong, super fast. He's Mr. Incredible. And if you look at that scene, all those little black balls can be whatever you want it to be. It can be anger, fear, name it. And if you watch it, he tries to run and run and run and run. He pulls it off. It goes right back on. It comes from all different types of angles, all different kinds of places. It could be whatever it is. The fact of the matter is, it brings anger, hate, anxiety, pride, fear. And these are things that we face and encounter on a daily basis. They hit us from all angles, and they swell, and they fester, and they consume our minds and our hearts. You can't escape them. You just can't. It covers us in darkness, and it blurs our vision until we become unrecognizable. You see, the counterfeit environment that you operate in a daily basis has an architect. And that architect is continually placing the desires of the flesh in front of you as a distraction. Constantly competing for your focus. All of the daily demands, all the anxieties, all the fear, all the pride comes from one source. But it is packaged in different boxes, bags, or it might even have a different bow on it. All making you think that it's a different dilemma that you have to deal with every single day. The reality is, it's the same old thing. And what we didn't show is that the very next cut in that movie shows Mr. Incredible shackled in bondage. He can't do anything. He can't break free. He can't move. He's constricted. Is that how you feel sometimes? In 2 Chronicles 20:15, it says, "And he said, 'Listen, all of Judah and its inhabitants of Jerusalem, and King Jay, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's.'" In this verse, the king of the people and the people of Judah have come across a pretty strenuous situation. So in this example, basically they have land that was given to them, and they're getting ready to get attacked by three separate armies, and they're coming in, and the king is looking out and he's saying, "Man, I got ourselves a situation here." He's looking ahead. And he brings everybody into the town, and they look up to God to figure out what they need to do next. And somebody out of the crowd stands up and says that, "For the battle is not yours, but God's." And in that verse, the king and the people of Judah come across, those three armies have declared war, and they're marching toward them. And they're looking forward to what is to come, and they're getting a little nervous, so that's why they bring everybody in. And granted, in your life, you're not fighting life or death battles. Or maybe you are. But every situation is a battle nonetheless. And it's a daily battle. So you need to ask yourself, is that how you feel sometimes? And amidst all this trouble and turmoil, we become weak, torn, worn, and so we need things to help us along our way, to build our confidence, provide reassurance and comfort. We need affirmation that things will be all right. Something to give us hope. The definition of affirmation is the action of affirming something. It's emotional support or encouragement. For those of you who need more of a visual representation of what I'm talking about, take a look at this cut from a Saturday Night Live sketch. It'll help you discern what I'm referring to.
And today we have a guest. And his name is Michael J. I'll protect your anonymity. Michael is a basketball player for a professional basketball team. Well, that's very good, Michael. You should be very proud of that.
Well, thank you, Stuart. I am.
Well, good for you. Good for you. Michael, I know there must be a lot of pressure for you to play very well. And I can imagine that a night before a game, you must lie awake thinking, I'm not good enough. Everybody's better than me. I'm not going to score any points. I have no business playing this game.
Well, not really.
Michael, denial ain't just a river in Egypt.
Well, I do sometimes get a little nervous before important basketball games.
I thought so. And that's okay. You're not alone. Believe me, I know what it's like laying there awake, all those tapes rolling. I'm a fraud. Tomorrow I'm going to be exposed for what I am, a big imposter. I just want to curl up and lay in bed all day and eat Fig Newton.
Well, something like that.
Right. Well, Michael, those negative thoughts are your critical inner voice saying those things to you, and I want to replace those negative thoughts with something positive, a daily affirmation. Now don't you feel better?
Well, I never really felt bad.
Michael.
No, it's true. Stuart, I guess pretty much of the time I'm a very happy person. I mean, I'm a blessed person. God gave me the talent to play basketball, and I have been able to spread some of that talent and some of that good feeling towards everybody and inspire other people and help people achieve their dreams.
I am just a fool. I don't know what I'm doing. They're going to cancel the show. I'm going to die homeless and penniless. I'm 20 pounds overweight, and no one will ever love me.
Stuart, that's just not true. I think what you're saying in your show can be very helpful to people.
You think so?
Yes, definitely. I just don't think it helps beating yourself up that way.
You're right. It's just thinking.
And after all, this show is your dream. It's a good dream. And you deserve to have dreams come true. Feel better? Would you like a hug?
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Stuart.
You know what? I think this is the best show I've ever done. And you know what? I deserve it. Because I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.
So I have to admit that I'm a little partial to that, so I apologize for the long video, but I enjoyed it. Not everybody needs a formal setting similar to that to have a daily affirmation to pump themselves up to get ready for the day. But there are a couple things I do want to pull out of that video that, comical as it may have been, two things. One is even though that some people that seem strong, invincible, they get nervous and they're not invincible. Michael Jordan, who I think is the greatest basketball to ever play the game, is a guy you would think that would never be concerned or nervous that he didn't have what it took. He admitted that he gets nervous before a big game. The greatest basketball player ever gets nervous. So why wouldn't we get nervous? It's normal. Everybody needs affirmation. The second takeaway, and probably more importantly, would be that maybe looking in the mirror isn't so bad. This is the most important piece of the video, not from a literal standpoint, but from a metaphorical standpoint. We should take time to take a look at our own personal mirror. Do some reflection and examination, especially during the times in our lives that are tough. It is important to look in that rearview mirror and understand that God was there during all of those tough times. You see, when we are actually in those moments of trial, we rarely ever take the time to recognize that he is with us because we are just too distracted. Too distracted with the situation at hand. The fact is, it is he that helped you through those times. because of the plan that he has for you. It is he that has helped you through those times because of the plan that he has for you. Remember, you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. And I'll tell you that and I'm not much of a poem guy, but there's a poem out there that I think just knocks it out of the park. It's a poem by Mary Stevenson, and it paints a picture that is perfect for this situation. And the poem is titled Footprints in the Sand. I'm sure you guys have heard of it before. And the last stanza, it states, "The Lord replied, 'My precious child, I love you and I will never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you.'" And if you've ever seen that poem written down, you'll see that the image that accompanies that poem, it is a single set of footprints on the beach. That is a powerful image because sometimes we are so self-centered that we cannot even fathom that those steps were not our own. Our first and natural reaction is to think self before we consider any idea that help was alongside us the entire time. And that's exactly what the enemy wants you to think. He is constantly placing things in front of you, pulling you, enticing you, making you focus on what is next. He's saying, come on, come with me, just for a distraction. Whereas Jesus is walking next to you, his arms around you, he's encouraging you, he's guiding you, and he wants you to make those choices that bring glory to his kingdom. So let that be the first affirmation for the day. God is by your side. God loves you, no matter what you may have done, and no matter what you may do. And because of that love, the same feet that left you lost and alone, anxious and afraid, stressed or angered, will be the same feet that bring you back home. Jesus wants you to want to make the choice to walk the path that he has given you. He wants your feet to follow him because in that decision, you have chosen him. He has already chosen you, and you must know and understand that fact. He has already chosen you. In Matthew 6:34, Jesus says, "So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Our Father will not give us more than we can handle." And as an added bonus, he's telling us to take it in small doses. He knows that we get overwhelmed and when we have too many situations to get across and put on our plates. And I think this is a simple message of him saying, chill out. Slow down. Tomorrow will come when it's ready. For now, choose what I have in store for you today. And if your mind begins to race, your focus is not in the right place. He wants us to slow down because he is constantly giving us affirmation. We are just too busy to recognize them. He knows that we live in a dark world. He knows that we are distracted, which is why he is constantly giving us clues as to who he is, what he's about, and probably most importantly, what your purpose is. He will talk to who you are, and he gives you pieces of the puzzle, but it's up to you to pick up those pieces and put them together. We struggle picking up these pieces because we are just too distracted. The signs that he gives us are just a blur. Psalms 46:10 says, "We must be still and know that I am God." We must be still and know that I am God. All of these distractions have us playing catch up or putting us in a reactionary mode, trying to solve or fix our own problems. We make things complicated. Personally, nothing explained this better than a song by 10th Avenue North titled By Your Side. And I'd like to share some of these verses that struck me and the meaning that they have to them. First verse is, why are you striving these days? Why are you trying to earn grace? Why are you crying? Let me lift up your face. Just don't turn away. Hit me like a ton of bricks one night. See, I'm a problem solver. I deal with problems all day, every day. And when I'm not trying to solve problems, it is my responsibility to plan or strategize and how to prevent ways to even begin to have problems. It's what I do. It's how I'm wired. That mentality has me constantly pondering or asking questions to gain information, ultimately to try and figure things out. Sounds complicated, right? Well, because I can't figure it out, that night he figured it out for me. And he explained to me that I was not seeing the simplicity behind what he has in store for me. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for our sake, he made him to be sin. He who knows no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Let that be the second affirmation for the day. The battle has already been won. The battle has already been won. The answer is Jesus Christ, folks. Regardless of the problems I tried to fix or solve, the battle was already won. Jesus died on that cross to take away our sins. So why in the heck am I trying to solve the riddle? And then I realized this parallels so many different situations in so many different ways. See, I was seeking information and knowledge. And don't get me wrong, those things aren't bad. But they're bad when they begin to consume you. And it was doing that to me. And at this point in my life, I kept obsessing over some things that I had going on at work, trying to solve or figure out ways to get things done. I was distracted, and I wasn't focused. It was a pretty stressful time. I was traveling a lot, and I'd felt as though I didn't have enough time in the day. I'm sure you've all been there. But you take that same idea, you can replace it with anything that you want to replace it with. Just pick your tendency. If you allow them to consume your thoughts, your mind, or your heart, they will distract you from the path to become the righteousness of God. Again, Matthew 6:34, it says, so don't worry about tomorrow, for enough will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Today's trouble is enough for today. And the last two lines of that verse in that song, it says, let me lift up your face, just don't turn away. This too brought an image to me. Think about the tendencies of human nature. When we are in trouble or we're contemplating, worried about something, what is our physical position? We're fidgety, our heads are down, we're pacing, we're not looking up. You see that same motion portrayed in movies all over the place, and you just don't ever recognize, you don't ever put it together. You're not looking up. Our heads are facing down. See, those lines showed me the grace of God, lifting up my face to the heavens, because when I am weak, he is strong. Telling me, I know how you feel. I know. I understand. I understand what you're going through, and I can help you. Second verse in that song, it says, why are you looking for love? Why are you still searching? As if I'm not enough. To where will you run, child? Tell me, where will you run? 1 John 4:19, we love because he loved us first. This verse says, why are you hiding from what you were thinking, from what you were doing, what your plans are? I love you. Don't run away. He just wants us to understand that. That is it. Don't run away, and then I love you. Be freed from your fear that judgment is just around the corner. If you are in Christ, fear is gone. If you are in Christ, fear is gone. Judgment has already come because Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us. 1 Thessalonians 5:5, for you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. Colossians 1:13 says, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Folks, the battle has already been won. The chorus of that same song, it says, because I will be by your side whenever you fall, in the dead of night whenever you call, and please don't fight these hands that are holding you. My hands are holding you. Our God, our Father, he is pleading with us daily because he loves us. He is for us. He is not against us. And remember, there is nothing that you can do to make God love you more, and there's nothing that you can do to make God love you less. So don't fight the hands that are holding you. It is his hands that are holding you. Let us pray. Lord, I want to pray that you give everyone in this congregation sight into what you have given us. Guide us down the path that you have planned for us, and teach us to slow down. Teach us to cast our cares on you and to know that the battle has already been won. And as we listen and sing this closing song, let us hear the lyrics to the song that is giving us affirmation that you are for us and that you love us. And that you love us for who we were yesterday, for who we are today, and for who we will be tomorrow. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.